Our top story, no curfew in Jacksonville last night, and by all accounts, no problems across the city as well. In depth now with Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry, and I want to make sure that we're saying what's accurate there. Mayor, thanks for taking the time out to talk about the issue and about what happened over the weekend. Have you been told of any problems, any violent activity or property damage from last night?
Good morning, Rich. I have not heard of any damage or activity as a result of any rioting last night, and I'm grateful for that.
Do you anticipate then for the coming day or days consideration of a curfew, or what conversations will you be involved in today as we look at the next 36 hours perhaps?
Rich, there's never a desire to be under a curfew, and the decision was made in conjunction with consultation with the sheriff and the law enforcement intelligence that he had. First, let me say that the protests that started Saturday afternoon, the protests as a result of the terrible death of George Floyd, those people were peaceful. They, in fact, had collaborated and worked with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office on the front end. What a lot of people that see this from a distance don't realize is when there is a protest, the organizers are usually in coordination with the sheriff's office, members of the Mike Williams team, and they did that. And things were going well, and voices were being heard. Unfortunately, as the evening wore on and those peaceful protesters left, a smaller group stayed around. Some others came in and were violent and were vandalizing buildings. And so as we moved into Sunday, we had some intelligence that said that it was likely activity going to be Sunday night, that type of activity. And I decided to impose a curfew for Sunday night. Sunday night was peaceful. We lifted it yesterday, and I don't want to have to impose it. We don't want to put another curfew in place, but we will if we have to.
Has the city calculated damage from the weekend?
I don't have a dollar damage. I was driving through downtown yesterday and saw some broken windows. I know there was some fires. By the way, it is also important to note that there were people in this city with those Molotov cocktails, those incredibly dangerous and illegal cocktails. And so we have to make sure that we are, as a community, protecting each other. Jacksonville is a peaceful city. Even when we have disagreements and voices need to be heard, the small group of vandalism and violence that you saw Saturday night does not represent the city of Jacksonville.
Speaking with Mayor Lenny Curry, a listener wanted me to ask, why don't you march, or why didn't you march with protesters or meet with leaders to show that you understand and hear why this is so important? Did you consider it?
Well, you know, the sheriff and I, over the course of, since we've been in office, have met with folks that organize these protests, different people throughout the community that that have concerns and want their voices heard. So, you know, it's very easy to go out and get a PR shot. And that's not to discredit anybody else in any other city that's done that. But I will say that, yes, there was consideration. But I don't. I'm always cognizant of being a distraction, or me or the sheriff. We've talked about this. Us creating an environment that could create division and issues. The people that organized those protests, I know they've met regularly with Mike Williams recently, and I've said I'm willing to sit in on those meetings and be a part of those discussions as well, if and when invited.
On Saturday, you said on Twitter, many today peacefully made their voices clear for justice. We hear you and we will work with you. What message did you hear?
Well, there's a message that I've heard since I've been in office, and even when I ran the first time 5 years ago. There are inequities that are decades old in our city. Consolidation made promises to neighborhoods of investments in infrastructure, septic tank removal, basic core issues, economic development, promises that were never fulfilled. We can't fix those in 5 years, 6 years, 8 years. That's got to be a long-term commitment. Budgets aren't sexy, but if you look at the five budgets that I put forward in this city, my infrastructure investments have included neighborhoods that were long neglected. I need to continue to listen to those neighborhoods and continue to make those investments in the years ahead. There's also, obviously, they have concern. There's concerns expressed over policing. I know for a fact, contrary to what's been said and reported by some, that Sheriff Mike Williams has sat in numerous meetings with people that say he won't meet with them and heard them and worked with them. And he'll continue to do that. He and I have talked about that this week, and I'm committed to working with him as well. I think we need to all recognize, it's easy to say this intellectually, but we need to step back and recognize and separate the two. There is a large group of peaceful protesters that have experienced oppression, that have lived it, and they need to be heard, and we need to work with them. There is a group that maybe haven't experienced oppression, but that are a part of the movement, a part of the cause, because they care about their brothers and their sisters. That's a different group from the people that are rioting and vandalizing and looting. And we can't mix the two. If we allow an inch of vandalism and violence, it dilutes the power of the voice of the people that need to be heard.
7:52, we're speaking with Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry, and I do appreciate your time on this issue. Have you thought about the change that you as a mayor and as a member of this community can actually make yourself to be meaningful to the Black community?
I've thought about that a lot over the years, and in fact, I've got a group of African-American friends and leaders in this community that I speak with regularly for advice, for information, for understanding. I think it's just to continue to try to understand the oppression and to acknowledge that there's things that I don't understand. No leader has all the answers. I don't have the life experiences of African Americans in this community. Many of those experiences that go back into some pretty disgraceful times. So it's a commitment to acknowledging what I don't know and listening and using the best judgment I can with the people around me to try to make our city a better place for everybody.
We're both fathers. Your kids are older in their teenage years. Mine haven't made it there yet, which is why I probably still have a full head of hair and not completely gray. But during coronavirus news updates, you included actively high school student voices to participate. What steps out of this are you considering taking to hear the voices of young people in Jacksonville on issues related to trust with law enforcement and issues related to race?
Sure. Well, as I said, I have ongoing discussions with folks in the community that are of and from and in and are African Americans. And I've talked to them this week about, you know, is when we get out of the fog of this, the fog of the vandalism and the fog of the violence, how do we include more voices? What does it look like? How do we make it more than just a fleeting moment? And I don't think there's any real clear answers right now, but we've got to be able to listen to each other. If you look at social media, people aren't changing minds on social media. We have to, as human beings, try to hear each other, even where there's differing viewpoints, and try to come together. And acknowledge where oppression exists, acknowledge where promises have been broken in our own community. Look, I look at what's happening in this country, and I see cities that are just in complete disarray. And as a U.S. citizen, and an American, it's hard to believe what I'm seeing. But I have a responsibility to the city of Jacksonville and the people of Jacksonville. And that's where my first commitment lies.
While you can't make a policy change necessarily unilaterally at the sheriff's office, you can be an influencer. Do you believe there should be a review of existing JSO policy surrounding use of force? And if so, what changes would you endorse?
I would say that I work with and rely on our sheriff and our state attorney on law enforcement policy. I mean, they're the experts in terms of what can be released so it doesn't jeopardize a criminal investigation. What I am willing to do is continue to work with them and collaborate them as they work with the community on policing and policies. I certainly is my responsibility to be a voice in that and work to make sure that the entire city knows that that they're represented, that we hear them, and that we've got to figure out a way forward together.
Is there at least room for more transparency into the process that currently exists after a response to resistance?
I would have to say, I can't answer that question on a, you know, on a 10-second soundbite. That is a, there's probably always room for transparency at any level of government, is probably, that's the right answer. But I'd have to sit down with our sheriff and our state attorney and others that that want to see change. What I can tell you is I have worked closely with our state attorney and our sheriff over since I've been in office, and they both love this community. They are both committed to everyone in our city and in our county, and they're going to always do what they can in their best judgment to make sure that that people in this city are treated equitably and fairly under the law.
As we wrap up, just getting word that the COVID-19 testing site at Lot J is going to be closed all day today. Is that also a result of potentially danger to community? Are you aware of that at least?
Yeah, these testing decisions are made on a day-by-day basis. We've had some weather issues and obviously the downtown threat of violence and the intelligence that they're getting. There are other testing sites. People can go on our website and get tested for COVID-19. I would suggest to people that if you have been in large mass gatherings with people that you're not usually around, even if you had a mask on, I would probably get a test today, and I'd probably get a test again sometime within the next 10 to 14 days.
Do the events over the weekend sway your decision at all on when we move to the next phase of reopening post-pandemic?
No, I was on the phone with the governor yesterday. So the short answer is no. I was on the phone with the governor yesterday about moving into phase two. I don't have an exact timeline, but that it's in the near term, and no timing of plans have changed.
All right, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry, appreciate your time. Are you willing to sit down with us a little bit more in depth going forward as well in maybe the coming weeks as we bring together resources in our community? We'd certainly like to be able to be a forum for that.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, appreciate the time this morning. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry, 7:58.